We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
But the American people should know this. In a changing world, my commitment to protecting religious liberty is and always will be unwavering.
It shouldn't take a church and church groups and colleges in America to have to sue their federal government to protect their religious liberties.
The feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality.
Shall the Father have compassion upon Nineveh? Jesus' death says yes, yes, 1,000 times and forever yes.
I think that if Houston Central was going to be a Navy vessel, it would be a nuclear-powered theological aircraft carrier.
It's always interesting to contrast, or, well, it's not a contrast, but it appears to be at first a contrast between Moses, Old Testament lawgiver, and Jesus, preacher of that law that Moses came to reveal. And on issues, especially during Jesus' earthly ministry, on issues where there were questions at the time, and oddly enough, there remain questions today, Jesus often gets interrogated. The Pharisees come up to Jesus, they're going to test him. And they ask him a simple, straightforward question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, their premise is Moses says yes. And they think Jesus says no. Well, Jesus' answer is hard to deal with because it sounds like he's gainsaying Moses. Of course, he isn't gainsaying Moses. He's explaining Moses. And then, of course, we go on in this text in Mark chapter 10 to hear the compassionate Jesus calling the little children to come to him. Two sides of the Jesus coin, apparently, in this Mark chapter 10 text that forms the basis for our pastor's roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 3rd. Greetings and welcome to Issues, etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our Pastor's Roundtable kicks off the first hour. Pastor Matthew Rogelin, Pastor Charles Lehman will be our guest in the second hour of the program. We're going to spend some time with Pastor Jason Broughton talking about being bored in church, and then a little Issues, Etc. comment line. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. The listener with the best question or comment for our Pastor's Roundtable in the first hour will receive the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. or a tweet at IssuesETC, or leave that question or comment, please include your city and state, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Charles Lehman joins us on the phone. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. Charlie, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Great to be here.
Here in the studio, a first-timer for our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Matthew Rogelin. He's pastor of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Matthew, welcome in.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
This is for both of you, but for you first, Charlie, since you're the veteran of the roundtable. Are you even going to touch Jesus' words on divorce when you preach this text as a sermon?
You know, I have the luxury of not deciding that for another week because I'm on the Lutheran Worship Lectionary, which is a week behind the LSB one. But I kind of don't think you can avoid it. It's a very important part of this text. And a thought that occurred to me, I mean, just maybe 2 minutes ago, was that I think that the divorce issue is actually perhaps the thing that ties the first part of this text together with the second part of the text, because the latter part of the text talks about not hindering little children, and we all know the consequences of divorce for the children. And it just occurred to me that perhaps there's a connection there.
All right, Pastor Roglin, same question for you, because you look out on a group of people on Sunday mornings, every pastor does, and you see people there, if they have not been through divorce, then they know somebody who's been through divorce. All of us do. Are you going to touch the divorce issue?
Definitely. I think that if you have a text like this where, and particularly the Mark version doesn't even say, well, except in the case of, you know, marital unfaithfulness, it doesn't even say that. And so when people are hearing that, they're missing that one connection that they've always heard and go, wait, isn't that in the scriptures? Isn't that acceptable that I got that divorce or whatever, or so-and-so got that divorce? And then it seems to be such a stark difference in content between divorce and let the little children come to me. And so when you read that, it's going to hit them right in the face. And if you don't at least address, boy, this seems like it doesn't fit together, you know, which one of these things doesn't belong or something like that. I think if you miss that opportunity, you're going to have some definitely questions afterwards. You know, people coming up, wait, why didn't you talk about, you know.
Like every preacher does, what is Jesus doing there? Well, let's stay on divorce for a second here, Charlie. Why would a pastor hesitate in the pulpit to preach about Jesus teaching on divorce?
Well, there are a number of possible reasons. One thing that would make me think twice about it is that I was just installed at my two congregations on July 8th, and I don't know the people very well yet. And so, you know, one thing for me to think about would be, do I have the necessary experience, the necessary knowledge of what's going on in my people's lives to know how best to preach something that's difficult to them? But on the flip side of that, there's the simple fact that God put me here to preach his word to them. And, you know, if I am faithful to what the text says, I will be preaching what they need to hear. And so I should allow that basic fact to give me comfort as I would approach the text.
Matthew, I wonder, some people look at a text like this, especially when you just stick to the first part where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and then to his disciples about divorce, and they say, there's no gospel in this. This is just Jesus laying down the law. What's your response?
I would say there's definitely a lot of law in here, but he's also responding to a particular question where they're trying to trip him up, and he's trying to show them that, you know, how they were misunderstanding. But there's not necessarily a focused gospel where you see, you know, Christ on the cross necessarily, but you definitely see how marriage is a gift from God, you know, and the creation. God made them male and female, and that this the overall plan for this couple is to be that they remain married, and the two shall become one flesh, and then they not get a divorce. But I, you know, I can understand where someone would say, well, his speaking of that isn't talking about him dying for us specifically.
Well, okay, Charles, are there times when we got to accept the fact that Jesus is just laying down the law?
Oh, well, yeah, certainly sometimes he does that. The question is this one of those places? And I think the answer to that is no. And I think we already heard what some of the important reasons for that are. If you look in particular at verse 9, which is what we hear is one of the strongest law passages, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. The law there, you could maybe reword in this way. The law is, do not reject the gift that God has given you. This is a law that is impossible to preach without the gospel that has already come before it. Gospel in a little bit more general sense, you know, like like was said, no Jesus on the cross mentioned explicitly here. But God has given a gift, and the law is don't get rid of that gift because it's a really, really good gift. And so I don't think that this can be, the law here can even be preached without understanding the gift that God is protecting, and that's where the gospel is lurking.
As we step into this, and we'll respond to this on the other side of the break, these first verses, the Pharisees came up in order to test him and asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And he answered them, what did Moses command you? Now, it's interesting. We'll talk about this on the other side. Their response is, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. Now, it sounds like their answer's wrong. It is true that Moses said you could write a certificate of divorce, but I don't think that's the answer Jesus is looking for when he asked the question, what did Moses command you? Because Jesus' response, as we'll see on the other side of the break, is from the very beginning. God gave man and woman together to be one flesh. And of course, when he gets together with his disciples a little bit later, he does talk a specific command. He talks about that commandment. Usually we would number it as the sixth commandment, the commandment against adultery. And he says, look, the problem with divorce is adultery. That's the problem with it. It leads to adultery. It leads to a breaking of that clear command that God had given through Moses. We'll talk about all that on the other side of the break. Our pastor's roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 3rd. We're talking with Pastor Matthew Rogelin. He's here in the studio with us, and Pastor Charles Lehman on the phone. I invite your questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. We're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment for our pastor's roundtable.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Talking about Jesus' words on divorce in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 2. It's our pastor's roundtable on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 3rd. And our guests are Pastor Charles Lehman. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. Pastor Matthew Rogland is here in the studio, pastor of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's go to the phones in St. Louis. Mark is listening. Thanks for waiting, Mark.
Hello. Thanks for having the Pastor's Roundtable.
What's your question or comment, Mark?
I was going to say, you know, there is some pretty powerful gospel in this text, you know, once you take a step back from the solid law. And it's that here Jesus, the groom of the church, is telling us not just his rules for our marriages, but also how he's going to relate to us as his bride. This whole never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. There is no reason for why I would dissolve my relationship with you, my faithfulness.
Mark, thank you very much. What are your thoughts there, Charles?
I couldn't say it better myself. In fact, I was hoping that we would get there because Jesus here is quoting Genesis 2, where he institutes marriage at the beginning of creation. And when St. Paul quotes that same text in Ephesians 5, he goes exactly the same place that Mark just did to say that this is not primarily about our earthly marriages, but it's about Christ's marriage to us. And throughout the Old Testament, God speaks of his relationship to Israel and now to the church as a marriage, and he says that he hates divorce and that he will never do it, and you know, he will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, the vows that he spoke to us, so to speak, on the cross, those are words that he's never going to take back. So I was very glad that Mark called to ask that wonderful question, because there's all kinds of gospel in this if you just look at the way that that the scriptures deal with Genesis 2 throughout.
And with that said, it does not detract the sternness of the law that Jesus is speaking here. Let's deal with the interplay between Jesus and the Pharisees to begin with. The Pharisees come up, they ask him the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce to send her away. Now, they're not even answering their own question, or maybe they are, Pastor Rogland. Sounds like the Pharisees are saying, well, it's our opinion that it is lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And Jesus wants to correct them, obviously, with what was from the beginning. What's going on here? Is their answer right? Is it wrong when the Pharisees say, what did Moses write?
Well, their answer is right if you look at the letter of the words. You know, Moses allowed a man, but Jesus clearly points out that divorce has never been part of the plan that God has for marriage. It's never been part of it. You know, here we don't even have, in this account, we don't even have any kind of a mention of except for marital unfaithfulness or malicious desertion, as we see in Paul's writings. This is not what is trying to be emphasized here. This is not part of God's plan. God's plan was that they would be together and not be separate. And not be divorced.
What does he mean, Charles? Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote this commandment?
Well, sometimes the way that we find things in the Old Testament is far less than ideal. I think you've talked about this on the program many times when you've addressed the issue of polygamy. While you don't get any direct command against polygamy in the Old Testament, and God seems to permit it in the Old Testament. If you look back at Genesis 2, to the institution of marriage, you see that marriage was instituted in quite a different way. And when you actually have people getting divorced. I mean, living in a different way in the Old Testament, like polygamy or divorce, it is always due to some sort of sin that has entered the relationship and broken it in some way. And so this permission that Moses gives for divorce is permission that is kind of due to an acknowledgement of the sinful state of humanity, but it is not in any way a desirable thing. It is not in any way consistent with the actual institution of marriage in Genesis 2.
Now, he gets his disciples alone in the house, Pastor Oglin, and they ask him about the matter, and he says to them, and it doesn't get any better, it actually gets worse, he says, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Is he saying that the problem, the ultimate problem with divorce is adultery? As opposed to, you've got the two sides of the coin, marriage and adultery. And is he saying the gift is marriage, the abuse that divorce amounts to is adultery?
Yes, he. We know that that the purpose and the gift of sex within marriage is a wonderful gift, but then outside of that is adultery, and you know we're getting right to the core of, you know, this is there to be, the plan right there. It says. You know, the two shall become one flesh, and what God has joined together, let no one separate. Well, if you get a divorce and she remarries or whatever, we've got a separation there. We've got a somebody separating what God has joined together. And so, yeah, I mean, he gets right down to the core of the matter. People, you know, will say, well, divorce isn't so bad because, you know, things don't work out or we're not really compatible. You know, marriage, the plan that God had was that they would remain together.
Now, Charles, pastorally, this can become very complicated very easily. It's not unusual to think of circumstances in friends and family where there's not just one divorce, but multiple divorces. And then there's a series of remarriages. And I think the fundamentalist way of going about it, I remember years ago, kind of when I was flirting with that stuff, was, well, okay, only the first marriage is valid. All the other ones are adultery. The only possible solution is to reconcile with the original spouse. Otherwise, you're living in sin. Period. Which even in Moses' day seems to be something that Moses is making concession for, or that God is making concession for through sin. How do we pastorally deal with those extremely complicated situations where it doesn't appear there's any right answer after divorce?
With prayer, fear, trembling, and I'm sure in certain confidence that God forgives all sins, even that of divorce. One thing that I think that we can too easily be afraid to do because of the feelings that can so easily be hurt is we can be afraid to simply call divorce what it is, and that is quite simply a sin. Now, is it always a sin? That's a question that I struggle with. I mean, I know that St. Paul makes these exceptions for unfaithfulness and for abandonment, but there are a lot of passages that seem to be very consistent in simply saying there is no circumstance in which divorce is anything less than sin. And in saying that, the scriptures would not be saying anything about divorce that is significantly different than what we hear about any other action that we in our sinful flesh take. Just about anything we do is sin, and at the same time, because we are Christians, it is forgiven sin, and sometimes even a good work. It's a difficult thing to navigate, but in terms of dealing with the pastoral situation when you have the two people who are seeking to get married after a divorce or are going through a divorce, lots of listening, lots of prayer, lots of study of God's Word, and lots of trust that Christ is going to forgive us for our best, which will ultimately still be sin.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 16, Jesus on divorce and let the little children come to me. One more question on divorce, and then a couple from our listeners, then we'll move on to the second part of the text. Pastor Matthew Roglin is our guest here in the studio, pastor of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in St. Louis, and Pastor Charles Lehman on the phone. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. We're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Casting Christ's Net on the Internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A new technology may relegate 3D ultrasound to the past alongside the fax machine. A company in Tokyo is producing the ultimate gift for expectant parents. A multi-step process converts an MRI scan of the mother's womb into a three-dimensional resin model of her unborn baby. It's called Shape of an Angel and comes in an attractive pink and white gift box. It's the perfect conversation piece for the work or home environment and an amazing tool to show the beauty of unborn life. Of course, it doesn't come cheap. The 3D model is about $1,200. But like everything else, the price will come down. Maybe in the future, crisis pregnancy centers will be able to make a woman's baby even more real to her. There's no mistake, abortion's on a collision course with reality.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's our pastor's roundtable. We're talking about Jesus on divorce and let the little children come to me. Pastor Matthew Rogel and Pastor Charles Lehman are our guests. Matthew, here's one. This comes from Robert in White Springs, Florida. A simple question, one that gets often
often answered. He says, I am divorced. Am I able to remarry or even serve the church according to the scriptures? What's your response?
I guess I would have to answer that one slightly with, it depends, because I don't know your full situation.
What would make the difference?
Well, it would make the difference on whether you acknowledge that divorce is that is not part of God's plan, that you repent of that sin, if you don't acknowledge that that's a sin, then we've got some issues to deal with. that wasn't intentional, by the way. You know, like, for instance, we have, and he asked about working in the church. I have friends that have a divorce in their past, and they were pastors. And I have one that is continues to be a pastor, and I know of one that is no longer able to serve as a pastor.
Divorced while being pastors, you're saying?
No. Oh. I don't, well, no. I know of one that was divorced while he was a pastor, and but he just decided he didn't like his wife anymore, and didn't repent of it, and he got kicked out of the church, mm-hmm. out of the pastoral ministry. And then my good friend, he was divorced prior to becoming a pastor, but he tried everything he could. I mean, he admits to me that he was definitely part of the sin going on in the marriage. You know, he was not the perfect husband, that was sinless and you know, was everything was her fault. However, he did not want to divorce. One of the things that ends up happening in our society, it really takes only one to get a divorce. If one wants to get a divorce and just absolutely leaves and files for the divorce, the other person, eventually, they can try and fight it, but it's not going to go very well. And she just decided to leave him and shacked up with somebody else. And he is now currently remarried. And when he applied for the seminary, they asked him a few more questions than they probably asked others. And he's able to function very well as a pastor. I believe he's probably pretty sensitive and can help people in that are going through those kinds of problems in a way that perhaps someone who hasn't been divorced, not saying that's a reason to get a divorce by any means, but I not knowing more than the one sentence question, I do believe that someone can, acknowledge the forgiveness that has been given to him by Christ's death on the cross and can move on with their life and can remarry. And now this is the one that the marriage now that, God has planned for them. And all these things about let man not separate apply now to this marriage. That God can truly bless a person in that situation.
The text continues with what both of you have acknowledged here already appears to be a little bit of a non sequitur, but I sense that both of you don't think that actually is divorced, so to speak, from what comes before. It says, and they were bringing children to him, that is to Jesus, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, Charles, why in the world, we don't understand this too well in our 21st century sensibilities, but why would anyone seek to hinder little children from coming to Jesus? Apparently they hadn't seen all the artwork in Sunday school lessons about little children. Just Jesus is so popular with the little children. Why would they hinder these kids?
Well, I think that actually it hasn't changed too much in the 20th century since this event took place. I think very often adults, especially adults who are in some position of authority or of respect, think that dealing with little children is beneath them. And so why would you want Jesus, you know, the holy and eternal Son of God, to have to deal with these, you know, little snot-nosed brats who probably have poopy diapers? It's just not something that Jesus should have to deal with. The other thing that has been added to this, I think, in the modern world, is I think that little children are often rather despised and hated in the church, not intentionally, but as a consequence of false doctrine in those churches where they absolutely refuse to baptize the little buggers. They think that, you know, they don't have any capacity for faith, so baptism isn't for them. And they try to whitewash this in an idea that, oh, they're not really sinful, but they end up denying the Lord's gifts to the children and falling under our Lord's condemnation in this passage.
When the little kids are coming to Jesus, Jesus says, to such as these belong the kingdom of heaven. What's he saying there, Pastor Roglin?
And I was going to say right before that, he says that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it as well. He says that right after that. He's acknowledging that they receive the kingdom of God. Children, little children. This isn't just children like, they're not 50-year-old people bringing their 30-year-old children. this is little children, and that the kingdom of God belongs to them. Throughout this whole section that we've been going through in Mark, in our gospel lessons on Sundays, and as we will continue to do so, I mean, we've got Jesus explaining the plans that he has and that God has, and they're not getting it. You know, the Son is a man is going to have to be delivered, and when he's killed, 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand the saying. And then they're arguing on the road, and they're arguing about who is the greatest. And in order for you to be the greatest, you must be the servant of all. And then we talk about the divorce, and they're just not, you know, we're not getting this, and they're not understanding the plan of marriage. And then now we get into the children, and they don't understand that the kingdom of God is for children. They couldn't understand how they could believe, and that sounds very similar to many people, even in the Christian church today, that it doesn't seem like they can be part of the kingdom of God. And then looking briefly into the future text, we get the rich ruler the rich person that comes and says, what must I do? Well, obey all the commandments. And then he says, well, I've done all these. Well, then sell all you have and give to the poor. And he can't do that. And he says how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, and easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And they say, well, then who can be saved? Finally, you're getting it. You can almost hear Jesus saying that. Finally, you're getting it. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We've got this whole thing going on with us not understanding God's plan and not understanding that it's the lowest of all. You know, concerning ourselves with divorce because it's not just about you. It's about what you're doing to your wife. You're committing adultery. Or if she divorces him and marries another, she's committing adultery. You're affecting the you're affecting the other person. You're not thinking about, you know, you shouldn't be thinking about yourself and who's the greatest and thinking about yourself as opposed to these children, these lowly children. You know, God came for them, came for the lowest. And it's when you finally realize that you are the lowest, that you are the children, that Christ's salvation is for you.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with our pastor's roundtable. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin, Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin, Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois, Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland, Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming, Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington, Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois, Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Concordia Seminary Chorus with the first stanza of the hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. We're talking about Jesus' words, let the little children come to me. It's our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Matthew Roglin and Pastor Charles Lehman are our guests. We offer as a resource, we give it away free during the pastor's roundtable, the Lutheran Study Bible, because it is that valuable of a resource for both lay people and pastors. The Lutheran Study Bible is one of those that when you're reading through these difficult texts like Jesus' words on divorce and you're saying, what in the world is Jesus saying? You're asking questions like, does this mean that because I or my parents were divorced, that they have committed some sort of unforgivable sin? Does it mean that I'm an adulterer? Does it mean? You're asking all the right questions. And you will find many of those answers explained very well for you in the Lutheran Study Bible. That's what a study Bible ought to do, is explain the difficult passages in light of those that are less difficult. Good, basic Bible interpretation. And that's what the Lutheran Study Bible does for you. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or call them, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I highly recommend the Lutheran Study Bible. Charlie, Chris in Flint, Michigan has a simple question. How does a little child receive the kingdom of God?
Do you want the one-word answer or the 34,000-word answer?
Well, why don't you give us the one word and then the abridged, longer answer?
The one word is baptism. A little child receives the kingdom of heaven when God washes all their sins away and places his own name on them in the waters of holy baptism. This is the way which God absolutely promises to give his kingdom of heaven to all people. And the key phrase in the verse and in the question that the verse is based on is how does one receive the kingdom of heaven? And reception is nearly always, in human language, a passive activity. As I was saying that sentence, I thought of how it is not a passive activity in the NFL and when my Broncos dropped a whole bunch of passes a couple weeks ago. But in terms of baptism, it is a completely passive activity. I don't remember a thing about the day that I was baptized. My daughter doesn't remember a thing about the day she was baptized. The little boy I baptized 2 months ago doesn't remember a thing about that either. All of us were entirely passive recipients of God's gifts on the day that he washed us, adopted us as his own child, and gave us all of the gifts of life and salvation through that water.
Melissa asks this, Pastor Roglin. As a foster parent, one of my deepest joys is to be able to teach the children entrusted to my care about Jesus' love and forgiveness. As they memorize scripture, hymns, liturgy, they're able to find comfort in their Savior, a comfort that I cannot give. They're able to, with Christ's help, forgive those who have hurt them. When they leave to go back to their families, we always send them with scripture from it's a children's Bible, a little study or something like that. And she says, so that they can take back what they learned with us to their current families. She's talking about her experience of having children only for a time, yet introducing them to the kingdom of God. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's a wonderful, wonderful example of a way you can share the love of Jesus with others. And what a tremendous opportunity she has to be able to share that with those children. And hopefully, you know, very often happens is Christ speaks through those children, and maybe the families also, you know, get to hear about Christ and end up in the kingdom of heaven that way as well. What a tremendous opportunity, and she's taking the good taking the opportunity to do that, and that's a wonderful thing.
Okay, some rapid fire for both of you, because Jesus says, "Whoever does not enter the kingdom of God like a little child shall never enter it." That's pretty tough. So I guess the key thing to understand there is, what does it mean? What does Jesus mean when he says enter like a little child? Is it because, Pastor Lehman, children are just so darn innocent? Is that what we ought to be like to enter the kingdom of God?
If children were so darn innocent, I'd be sleeping a lot better at night these days. My daughter is not innocent at all. What it means instead of that is it means that we only enter the kingdom of God when we passively receive all of God's good gifts of life and salvation. If we try to contribute anything to it, we're not going to get it. it is only, you know, passively, without any effort on our part, that we receive the kingdom of heaven. The way I put it in a sermon a few weeks ago was, babies have nothing on their resume. All they know how to do is take, 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 receive, receive, receive. And that should be the posture of every Christian toward their God.
So it's the fact that children have nothing to offer, can do nothing for you, are completely, just by the nature of being children in that position, dependent? Is that what's being emphasized here by Jesus? Pastor Roglin.
I do think so. I think that, you know, again, as it said earlier in chapter 9, you know, they're talking about the greatest, and he says, you must be, if you want to become first, you got to be last. Who can be saved? on your own? No one. Only through Christ. And it's when we finally realize that we have nothing, we are nothing, and God is everything, that's when we finally get it.
I want to tie that back together with something that both of you emphasized, Pastor Lehman, when we were talking about the divorce section. And it was raised by one of our callers from St. Louis, by Mark, who said, you know, what Jesus is showing here in these words that he speaks about marriage in the context of divorce is that for him, our heavenly bridegroom, divorce is never an option, that he has committed himself to us entirely and eternally, and we need never fear the writ of divorce from Jesus Christ. Is that really how we tie together these two sections, some apparently hard words on divorce, and this comforting welcome of children into the kingdom of God, Pastor Lehman?
I really think that it is. Our Lord's commitment to us is absolutely unyielding and relentless. It's simply he's never going to give up on us. And what I mean by that is, I'm not trying to Rickroll your listeners. What I mean by that is that he is so committed to us that he was willing to suffer an eternity of hell on the cross in order to have us be with him, body and soul, in heaven forever. And our earthly marriages are to be an image of the commitment that Christ has made to his church. And every marriage that produces children exists primarily for the good of those children. And it's no different in Christ and the church. His bride has children, and those children are brought into the church through the waters of holy baptism. And the reason why Christ desires his church to be whole and healthy is for the sake of the children. And one of the reasons, and I think the reason that Jesus is kind of subtly emphasizing in this text, that divorce is such an evil thing is because of the great harm that it does to the children.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. Charles, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for being our guest.
It was a joy.
Pastor Matthew Roglin is pastor of Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Matthew, good to have you here in the studio.
It's been great.
If Chris in, let's see, Flint, Michigan, is that where Chris was from? Yes, Chris in Flint, Michigan, would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going to send you the Lutheran Study Bible. Thanks to everybody for their questions and comments during our Pastor's Roundtable. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to start off talking with Pastor Jason Broughton about boredom in church. What's the real problem if you're bored on Sunday morning? What's the real solution if you're bored on Sunday morning? We'll answer both of those questions. And then we'll talk with a Lutheran pastor, regular guest actually, here on the program, Pastor Peter Bender, who had the privilege of singing the national anthem Monday at, well, it was Wrigley Field in Chicago, but at least he got to sing the national anthem. It's a Cubs game, but for heaven's sakes, that's all right. And we'll see what he has to say about that experience, a little bit of a comment line as well. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. You know, every night I pray that God would sustain my marriage with my wife. He's done so faithfully for 22 years. Now, had it been left up to the two of us, it wouldn't have lasted 22 years. It wouldn't have lasted 2 years. Because the promise that God makes there when he joins together man and woman into one flesh is his promise. He promises to hold husband and wife together. And that promise is rooted in something even more sure than the certainty of God's promise on marriage. If there could be something more certain, there is. And that is the promise that Christ, the bridegroom, has made to his bride. See, the only thing that holds an earthly marriage together ultimately, other than just sheer human effort by which sometimes people manage to stay together, the only thing that really holds our marriages together is the blood of Jesus Christ, by which he has committed himself as the bridegroom to his bride, the church, for all eternity, a one-flesh union that he will never break. I'm Todd Wilk, and hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilk and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.